Hello, everyone. Now we come to chapter 55 of Psalms, a very important chapter. Psalms 55 and verse 1, here we go again. How often do we hear David say, "Hear my prayer, God. Give ear to my prayer. Please note my words. Please open your ears to my cry." We have to beseech God like that sometime. David said here in Psalms 55 and verse 1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my supplication." Sometimes when you pray, you might feel like, I don't know if God's listening. I don't know if he's hearing me. Well, he is, but you might talk to him about that. And you might tell him, "Please hear me. I hope you're hearing me. I hope you are listening to my supplication. I need help. I need intervention. I need strength. I need mercy." Or you might be praying for somebody else that way. You say, they need help. They need strength. They need mercy. They need forgiveness. God pays attention to that. Verse 2, "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. It hurts. Help me. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." And he had many enemies, and they were trying to kill him. And his life was hanging by a thread, so he had to beseech God daily and often. Sometimes we find ourselves in tough situations and in dangerous circumstances. We can cry out to God the way David did. Verse 4, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." It looked like it was over for David. It looked like there was no way out. But he besought God and trusted him. And every time, God delivered him. Verse 6, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." I just need to be out of this situation. I need a change of pace. I need peace. I need safety. I just wish I could fly away like a dove and find a safe place and rest. Once again, we know that David knew a lot about creation because he observed it. And he talks about a dove here. What's prettier than a dove flying, or a dove's mournful call, or two turtle doves that mate for life and you see them in a tree or building a nest or sitting on eggs and bringing little ones forward? You look at things like that, and you know that could not have just happened through evolution. It had to be done by design and created and brought about by God. Well, David uses some of that right in his prayer. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove." Verse 7, "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness," and just get away from this. But I can't do that. I'm here, so I can't fly away. So I have to have help from you, God. Verse 8, "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, their speech, their counsel, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets." And he's talking about Jerusalem. He's talking about cities in his day. And the same thing is true as far as cities in our day are concerned. We were just watching the news tonight, and they were talking about this lady in her prime, and her daughter were walking down the street, and someone pushed a shopping cart from four stories up over the edge, and it landed right on her head, and she dropped immediately with cardiac arrest, and there happened to be a doctor close by, and he revived her. And they got her to the hospital, and they don't know if she's going to make it or not. Right now, she's in a induced coma, and they found out who did it. You know who did that? 2 12-year-old boys. And they pushed that shopping cart off of the deck, I guess, where the cars are parked. It went catapulting off of that and fell through the air and hit this woman right on her head. And they laughed and laughed and laughed. And the reason they found out about those 2 12-year-old boys is a 14-year-old boy reported it. And when they found those boys and put them under arrest, they were still laughing. They thought it's so funny. And this lady was out there just trying to carry on her life. That happened just yesterday or today. What's going to happen tomorrow? and how many other evil, horrible, hideous acts of violence go on day and night, and we don't ever even hear anything about it. It's amazing to me how policemen and law enforcement can even keep their sanity. They see this so much and so often. And David talks about it here. And when you hear things like that, you just cry out, "Thy kingdom come. The sooner the better. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." That's the only way these problems that we hear about and read about on a daily basis are ever going to be solved. They're all getting worse and worse. And the only answer is the kingdom of God on this earth with Jesus Christ in charge. And he said, when you pray, pray, "Thy kingdom come." I hope we're doing that, brethren. Thank God that we've come out of that, and thank God, thank him very much that he protects us. We can run into things like that ourselves. And all around us, there are things happening we don't even know about it. It's getting worse. It's going to impact us. This is a dangerous place where we live, called Earth, and getting more so that way all the time. And it was even that way back in David's day, but not as bad because we've degenerated over a 3,000-year period from where they were then. And we have accumulation and buildup of evil. But look how he describes it. Back then, day and night, they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it, wickedness in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her streets, verse 11. Verse 12, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me," David said, when he started having trouble with this individual. "Then I could have borne it. I could have dealt with it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Here's who tried to do me in," verse 13, "but it was you, a man, mine equal, my guide, my companion, and my acquaintance, my friend, my confidant, someone I trusted and depended on and counted on." I've had that happen to me, and you probably have had it happen to you as well. Verse 14, "We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick," or in their prime, "into the grave, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." And so David lived in the time where it was a physical nation on this earth, handling things in a physical way. And it was eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, and it was brutal. And so he's saying, they're so wicked and evil, and they're after me and after others that are with me, and we're trying to serve you, God. The only language that works with them is for you to destroy them. Please do that. And he knew they could be resurrected later. Verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Look at this now. This is a verse in the Bible that ought to be underlined and put in brackets and have asterisks in the margin. Look what David said. Verse 17, Psalm 55. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Now, he prayed at other times during the day as well, undoubtedly. But he tried to make sure that he had three main prayers a day at least, evening, at night, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And I'll tell you something, brethren, I have proven this over and over again. That works best of all. See, we can get up in the morning and quote-unquote get our prayer done. Now that's done. I can go about my day and that's done. That's out of the way. Well, that's not the way God wants us to pray. That's like doing push-ups. Okay, I got to do 20 push-ups. Let me get that done out of the way. Now I don't have to do those again until tomorrow. That's not how God wants us to do our prayer or our Bible study for that matter. He wants us to pray more than once a day, and he wants us to walk with him throughout the day. So we get up in the morning and we pray, and then at noon we find a place where we can pray, and it might mean that we pray silently, or some people might think we're taking a little break or a nap or whatever. Sometimes you can do it in the car, and then do that in the morning, then at noon do that, and then at night before you go to bed do that, and then throughout the day you can pray silently to God, and that's walking with God, and that's not getting in your prayer, and now that's done until tomorrow. No, you pray without ceasing, and you walk with God in an attitude of prayer as well as your main prayer time on your knees, trying to do so three times a day. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And the same with Bible study. you can take a little Bible with you, and while you're having your lunch, sit in a private place and kind of reorient your mind with reading some of the chapters in the Bible, maybe some of the Proverbs or Psalms, and then read some at night. It makes a big difference. You do that and you'll see it makes a difference. And David said, do that here. I mean, David said he did that here for a reason. That's an example for us to notice and to follow. Verse 18, he's delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Actually, a better translation is, for there were many against me, many against me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abides of old, Selah, because they have no changes, or they do not change. They won't repent and overcome and straighten out. They just stay wicked and get more so in most cases. Not in all cases, but many cases. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Not only do they not have time for God, they certainly don't stand in awe of God. He's ridiculed, he's blasphemed, he's made fun of, he's the butt of jokes. Can you imagine? The great God in heaven is. That's what Satan has done to humanity, and that's Satan's world. Verse 20, he has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. David is talking about evil people here, and in particular, an evil individual that he thought he could trust. You ever talk to anybody whose words are smoother than butter? I sure have. Too slick, too smooth, a little bit too polished. Better be careful. You could be being set up. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. He's a hypocrite. He gives one impression when in fact he's another way. There's a catch, there's a hook, there's strings attached. War was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. As soon as he gets a chance, he's going to attack. Even though his words seem so comforting and soothing and soft. Verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. And I want to take you back now to verse 22 and kind of draw your attention to that and underline it a little bit. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Put it there. He wants you to. You might say, well, I've got nobody I can talk to or nobody that'll listen or nobody that cares. That's not true. You can talk to God. He cares and he will listen. Cast your burden upon the Lord and leave it there and relax and he shall sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved or shaken or wiped out. Now we come down to Psalms chapter 56. Psalms 56 and verse 1. Here we go back to what we started with, and David did this often, so should we. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Be merciful unto me. We ought to ask God for mercy often and regularly. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me, because I praise God and I trust him. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They twist what I say. They lie. They leave some things out and they add other things. They spread mischief and gossip. And this happens today too. And Satan is behind it. He's the accuser of the brethren. He tries to get others accusing the brethren. But God protects us. Verse 6, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, they're going to ambush me. And David knew it. And Saul was trying to do this. And Saul's army was trying to do this. It was a constant part of David's life for a number of years as he was on the run and he was trying to evade and get away from Saul. He could have killed him on a number of occasions, but he knew that he was in that office and put there by God. God would have to be the one that took him out. So in the meantime, instead of just standing there and letting Saul kill him, he fled. And he had to trust God on a daily basis to protect him as he was trying to get away from Saul and his henchmen doing him in. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. You know how I'm having to flee. You know how I'm having to move around. Put thou my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? You know how I cry out, and you know how tough it gets, and sometimes I cry out with tears. Consider that, God, David is saying. When I cry unto you, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto you. Now he was very aware of, and he was afraid of what Saul and his army wanted to do to him. But he was not afraid that they would actually accomplish it, because he knew God would take care of him and protect him. There's a healthy fear in this world today. There's some places I won't go, and there's some times I won't go there. It's healthy fear. I don't fear man in terms of I'll do what he says more than what God says. I fear God, so I'll always do what God says more than what man says. But if you roll up into a parking lot and get out and there's a crazy man there waving a gun around, I think you better fear that situation and get out of there. I don't think you better get out of the car and say, I don't fear any man. Just walk up to that guy and push him over. No, there's a healthy fear. But you don't fear to the point of doing what man says as opposed to what God says. You fear God, and you'll do what he says. You stand in awe of him, and you trust him. But we live in a world today to where we need to be cautious and trust God to protect us and stay clear of dangerous situations and dangerous people. That's being wise, really. But I will not be afraid what man can do unto me in terms of no protection from God, in terms of taking over my life, in terms of just having their way with me. No, God's not going to let that happen if we do our part and we stay close to him. Verse 12, your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Will not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? You know, if you are in God's church and you're seeking the kingdom of God and you are growing and overcoming and one day you want to be in the family of God, you don't want to fall away. And I've talked to some people who are concerned about that, and even to the point to where they wonder if they're going to make it in the kingdom. Well, now we do need to be careful. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, he that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. It doesn't mean that we need to go through our day in fear that we won't make it in the kingdom. We just need to take heed. We get a little bit too self-confident. We get to thinking, well, we're just doing all right. Maybe we ought to take a little bit of heed and find out, well, maybe we're not doing as well as we thought, so let's get things squared around. So we do need to be alert and honest and cautious. But we don't need to be walking around in fear that no matter what we do, we're just not going to be good enough and we won't measure up and we're just not going to make it into the place of safety and we won't be in the kingdom. If we feel that way, we need to find out why we feel that way and repent of it and get it squared around. Because notice, will not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? We can ask God, please don't let me fall away. And please help me do what I need to do so it won't happen. Let's turn over here to Jude, just as a companion verse. Jude, let's start reading in verse 20 of Jude. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then skip down to verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Did you notice what verse 24 says? Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. So we can ask God, please keep me from falling. Please keep me from being deceived. Please keep me from stumbling and veering off, but help me to do my part. And God will hear that prayer. And so therefore that concern is good, but walking in fear that we're not going to make it is not good. We need to get whatever makes us feel that way dealt with. Because as you see here, when we yield to God and we obey God and we surrender to Him, we can count on Him to keep us moving in the right direction, to lead us in the right direction, and actually to keep us from falling if we're doing our part, and deliver us from that. David prayed that in verse 13 of Psalms 56. Let's continue now in Psalms 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. There we are again. Look how often we've read that tonight. Be merciful to me. I need your mercy. Please have mercy on me. And help me not to abuse that mercy. Help me to appreciate that mercy and not misuse it, but to use it properly and to count on it. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in you. Yea, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. So does that mean that God has wings? Well, no, there's no indication in the Bible that God has wings. And when he's described in the Bible, he's never described with wings. This is just a metaphor. This is just a figure of speech where David is using this expression to show how God protects us like a mother hen protects her chicks under her wings. We have that protection. We have that cover. We have that refuge from God, like little chickens gathering under the wings of their mother. Yea, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge. It's his protection, his cover, his refuge, his concern and care and security that he gives us. That's what David's talking about. Until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. I will cry unto him. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Mercy and truth. Wonderful, wonderful things. Blessings that no physical blessing can even touch or come close to. Verse 4, my soul is among lions. David knew he was surrounded by danger. And so are we, probably more than we realize. And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, but look at what happened. Into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. And so often that happens. You try to dig a pit for someone, and you'll end up falling in it. You try to lay a trap, or you try to set somebody up, or you try to corner someone. Be careful, it can come right back on you. That's not the way to relate to other people. And David is pointing that out right here. They dug a pit, but they've fallen in it themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I am locked in my relationship with you. I'm steadfast. I will not move from looking to you and looking to you for everything and trusting you. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto you among the nations. For your mercy is great under the heavens and your truth under the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. You know what will happen, brethren, as you study the book of Psalms and as you study it again and then again and again? You'll start thinking the way David thinks. You'll find yourself humming one of the hymns. You'll find yourself praying the way David prayed. You'll find yourself, when confronted with danger or with blessings or with a problem that you don't know how to solve or with a wonderful gift that God poured out on you, you'll find yourself starting to express yourself the way David did. In other words, as you drink in of God's word, it becomes a part of you. And that's a wonderful, tremendous help that we all have available to us in developing the right attitude toward God and the mind of Jesus Christ and holy, righteous, godly character. That's what studying the Bible will help us be like and help us do. That brings us to the end of Psalms 57, and we'll pick it up next time as we continue this Bible study through the book of Psalms. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.